B-Pod Studios.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show. Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
You're listening to Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who's going through some Crash Bandicoot withdrawals. Me, James Campbell.
Are you committed to a game? Did you actually play a game enough that you're like,
yeah, I want to get through it. I'm halfway through Crash. I've had to put it on the sidelines because I have some...
I thought that you beat it and you're like having withdrawals.
No. Okay. I just haven't had time to actually get to it and play it due to some other work work responsibilities that I have to do from
home.
Being
an adult.
Exactly.
Respect.
Like IRL stuff is getting in the way. So I miss my Crash Bandicoot.
I've put 40 hours into Assassin's Creed and I'm only 22% of the way through
it. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Either you're playing the wrong storylines or you are really taking your sweet time.
It's a massive game.
That's how good the game is,
it's
man.
So big.
It's the murdering of all those bunny rabbits to torment a significant other.
That was only 5 minutes.
We asked on social media, over at Checkpoint XP, on Twitter and Facebook, what game are you most thankful for? We'll get to your answers. We're going to talk about our answers here first. And Robbie, I'm curious, what game are you most thankful for?
I could go with a lot of different ones. I think I'm going to forego my usual go-to because one of our listeners actually used it as their answer. And I'm going to say that I think Assassin's Creed, you know, that last delay of Cyberpunk could have really put me in a spot because there wasn't a whole lot to play, you know, between now
sick.
And it coming out. Yeah. So between Assassin's Creed and the World of Warcraft expansion that just hit, I think both of those will help tide me over until Cyberpunk comes out. So I'm thankful for both World of Warcraft and Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Those are good ones.
What are you, Weirdbeard?
I'm going to go farther back. I want to pay homage to a game that I'm thankful for.
Take us back in time, Weird Beard.
1993 Doom. Man, I'm thankful for Doom coming along and showing that it, like, not all video games have to be like solitaire or like just, you know, little baby, you know,
pinball
brain
master.
Games.
Wasn't it like a space pinball?
Space cadet pinball or something. But yo, Doom came along and it's just guns and blood and guts and screaming demons and stuff like that. Like, hell yeah, brother, bring it up.
It's not a response I was expecting to hear from Weirdbeard. Doom, I figured it'd be some weird, like I'm farming for fruits or something game.
Those are my favorite kind of game.
What about you, James? I always go back to this game, but this is a game that I've probably spent the most time with probably now in my entire life. It is Realm Royale. Like, so that's kind of, I found...
I mean, that's sort of like your bread and butter within your stream as well.
Absolutely, it
is. Your community and stuff.
I found a game that I enjoy playing. I can play it on stream. I can get my community involved and we can play together. And it's like, I was such search for a fun game. Trying Fortnite, trying Apex Legends, trying all these other Battle Royale games. Everybody's into these Battle Royals. And I'm like, I want to be into them and I want to try them. But I just don't have fun in them.
Mm-hmm.
But Realm Royale is here, and I have a blast playing it. So it's actually fulfilled a lot of time that would be spent doing who knows what.
Yeah, that was a wholesome answer.
Very wholesome.
Yeah.
David here over on social media, he says, everything Soulsborne, especially Demon Souls. There's already plenty of laughs from people screaming it's too hard, like they didn't know they were hiring a dominatrix after almost 12 years of the series.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I'm surprised somebody comes up with that game, because that game, it seems so painfully hard to play.
Some people are into that.
It's like Super Mario Maker. You can play the little baby levels, or there's the Kaizo levels, which are like the impossible. You play it for 3 weeks straight and still can't beat
like
a single Mario level.
You're like the little teeny tiny Mario and you have to get through all those like flames.
Yeah, some
going
people just like having to do the same thing over and over again until they finally beat it.
To mastering something, yeah. Enyo says, oddly enough, Cyberpunk 2077. Constantly looking forward to it and watching all those Night City Wire episodes has actually made the year seem to go by fast. Well, I'm glad somebody's year is going by fast. But had it been out already, my answer might have also been Cyberpunk.
I assume that's what your answer would have been had they not delayed.
No, what mine would have been, from the Fredible Hulk over on Instagram, says Final Fantasy VII. I think it set the standard of what could be done in the 3D space with RPGs at the time on consoles and probably made RPGs more popular. It did for me at least because I couldn't stand the 2D RPGs. Final Fantasy VII was the one that I say turned me into a gamer because it showed me what games can really do. It made me cry.
It reminds me of Hey Arnold on Nickelodeon. Where Helga had the shrine in her closet.
I was not a Hey Arnold guy. So.
Still, I believe Robbie absolutely puts a shrine to find. Final Fantasy VII in his
closet. You have
closet.
A little cloud shrine at home, Robbie, somewhere deep in the closet?
I do not. It was a nice try, Weird Beard, but no. Unknown says Cat Quest. It's a cute little game. Not even joking. I've had so much fun blasting through this game. This sounds like a game that Weird Beard.
I was going to say, Weird Beard, you played this one?
Which one?
Cat Quest.
Yes!
Okay.
What kind of a did you pause to actually think of that?
This isn't that like next gen looking cat game where you like run around like Japan or something. Are you looking forward to that game as well?
But if there's cats in it, absolutely.
Is Cat Quest the game that looks like Legend of Zelda but you're a cat?
Kind of, yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's the one that I thought.
All right. Will said every Call of Duty ever. Really? Even the one where you go into space?
Wait, this is a Call of Duty? You going to space?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where did they come up with that one?
Isn't there time traveling as well? And you go back to like the days of like King Arthur?
I don't think so. I know in space you go out there and you have to eventually sacrifice yourself. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Space suicide, just like at the end of Armageddon.
Chili says, I got to go with Animal Crossing. It came out at the right time with everyone locked in. I could still experience some outdoors, even if it was just virtual because of it. I have to ask you guys, do you think that Animal Crossing would have had as big of an impact as it did if there was no pandemic?
No, it was a social moment. Like, it was a
perfectly timed.
Yeah, like, and not only that, it was it transcended gamers. Like, non-gamers were talking about it and knew about what it was.
Like, Danny Trejo had an island.
Yeah, he does. Some of the other celebrities. Frodo.
Yeah, Elijah Wood.
There we go. Yep.
All right. So one of the other questions that we asked over the weekend was, we asked some of our guys on social media, what esports moments lives completely rent free in your head? And we got a few actually really good ones.
Mine. Okay, absolutely.
Right. Weirdbeard is demanding the mic.
I showed it to you last week, the Olaf boost in CSGO, where Olaf Meister, he boosted on top of his teammates for like, it was a game breaking thing that they did. Absolutely nutty.
He sees them down there, straight headshot, they have no idea. Smith's looking confused and dazed, and it's going to be a follow-up headshot on Meister.
You ever make any plays like that, Robbie?
No, because I don't cheat. Cal over on social media said the Philly Fusion losing the summer showdown to the Paris Eternal in game 7 right after EQO hit the greatest Dragon Blade play of all time. It was an absolute heartbreaker.
Dash through from EQO, and now the Blade comes in. Monstrous combo. EQO slicing through the opposition. That should end that push. Indeed, it does. The Paris Eternal going to be stopping just short of the finish line.
Look, when it comes to Overwatch League letdowns, as a fan of the Houston Outlaws constantly losing in Game 5, I can absolutely attest to seeing great plays, and they're not enough to put your team over the edge there.
Is that in your top three of all time, that moment?
I don't know. For me, the top plays for me from Overwatch League is I'll tell you one. There was a moment in Season 1 where Surefire and the Gladiators did what they now refer to as the Carousel. And what it was is at the very top of the game, when all of his team came rushing out of for attack on King's Row out of the spawn point, he stayed back there on Widowmaker, and they made the other team rotate in front of him. Other team didn't realize that somebody was still in the spawn point, and he was able to get 3 quick kills before they realized where he was, and that they were right in his line of sight, and they ended up just rolling through that game. It was great.
Very strategic.
Yeah, another one from Michael for Overwatch League says, Season 2 playoffs for Overwatch League, the Atlanta Reign versus San Francisco Shock. Says that Rialto map was the best OWL ever. You have to remember that Atlanta sent the Shock into the loser's bracket, and then the Shock didn't lose another match.
Wow, they came back for the win of the whole tournament?
They came all the way back. This is the grand finals. They came all the way back, even in the grand finals versus the Vancouver Titans. The finals didn't drop a single match. They just went beast mode. And finally, Ricky says, and this is one of the greatest of all time, the legendary Street Fighter 3 Perry comeback.
All right, if you enjoyed these responses, you can always include yours by commenting on our social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook. However, we want to talk to you on the phone. If you want to talk to us, please give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. You can chime in on our current social media question that we have posed, or you can ask any question you feel like the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. And that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening to us on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Check out the Checkpoint XP Daily, where you can hear the latest in video game news that is breaking that day. A big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Checkpoint XP. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next level.
Here is today's top automotive tech story. I'm Nick Miles. Land Rover has announced the 2021 Range Rover Evoque. With enhanced technology and refinement, Land Rover's most advanced system, PV Pro, is introduced as standard, featuring a redesigned, intuitive menu structure with the most popular features and functions accessible from a single home screen. The new Range Rover Evoque is priced from $43,300. For more automotive tech news, go to testmiles.com.
Meet America's first and only hybrid minivan. The Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid delivers up to 32 miles all-electric with a total driving range of 520 miles while offering plenty of space. Drive with confidence in the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.